Why are friends for?
No, really. What are friends for? Friends are for personally delivering warm OMFG cookies during a world crisis. Welcome to a tasty episode of WAF. I'm Gabrielle Ruiz.
And I'm Gabrielle's best friend, the one who delivered those cookies at the beginning of the pandemic to her personally, Pallavi Sastry.
Hey, girl.
Hi. That's such a nice memory amongst the chaos, wasn't it?
Oh, I'm so glad we're not there anymore as well.
We're chaotic in other ways.
Just chaotic. We upgraded our chaos. I'm so happy about it.
There we go. But to say the least, I think, you know, whenever we think about, like, we have a very special guest on today, and we've been sort of like in a way wanting to do this because we talk about them all the time, or we talk about the cookies all the time.
Off pod and on pod. Yeah. All the time. These cookies specifically, this is not just a cookie episode, everyone. Just stick with us.
But it's also about friendship, because I actually was like one of the first taste testers. I remember when this person was making baked goods in their kitchen, you know, before selling anything.
As well as this is one of your friendships that I'm very jealous of. But I am not matched. I am not matched. You heard me, guest. You're not even on yet. And I am not matched with the amount of tasting. It's not just about the cookies. Okay. I promise. But also the friendship. I love to watch from afar.
Oh, that's so nice.
There, I said it.
What I love about the show is that we've been really making the web bigger, I should say. The WAF web, the family web.
Ooh, why have we not used that pun yet?
I don't know. I just came up with it now.
The WAF web.
All of our friends can get to know each other and get to, and love each other as much as we love each other.
Anna, write that down. WAF web.
But I love it when I impress you in the moment. It's so exciting for me. I'm like, I did it.
You can always get me with puns. I make group chats about them all the time.
Tell me about your sleigh this week, Gabrielle.
For Mother's Day, you and I went out to dinner celebrating not only the Mother's Day, but celebrating that we slayed the first quarter of 2022.
I have to say that I'm really proud of you. For the first quarter of 2022, honestly.
Go on.
Well, tell me more. Well, I mean, I think I've, because you guys went through a lot, both of you, and the three of you, the four of you, including the dog.
The five, don't forget Veronica.
Right.
Don't forget that bitch.
I was just about to say, I can't forget that bitch. But anyway, I think my goal at least was to just not be complicated, which is what we like about our friendship, you know, and just, you know, be whatever we could be for you. And I hope that you feel like you have come to come to the light at the end of the tunnel, you know?
You definitely were not complicated, but you were also, you and Hari were also a lifeboat. So I love you for that. Thank you for helping us slay through winter and spring of 2022. We went to Il Cielo in Beverly Hills. Also, yes, fine. Our husbands were also there. But it was really nice to also celebrate you with all of your film slayness, like just, and Philip with his new job. And then Hari, at least he's funny. He's got that going for him. So it was really nice. It was a really nice outing. And we found a babysitter and we were thrilled. It was great.
Yeah. No, I think we're finally getting into the flow of like, hey, should we try and make plans together, all four of us, instead of just like you and me going, or the guys, you know, grabbing whiskey at each other's houses, you know, whenever. Yes. So we're trying to like get into the flow of actually all spending time together, which is, you know, great.
Which leads into what sucked. It's a interchangeable story here, is you and I never take pictures together. You were like, at the ballet, we have to take a picture together. And I was like, oh my God. And like, we almost maybe didn't even do it. Like, we still almost didn't do it. And I have to say, as much as that sucks, the defense I have that is eye-rolly to me anyway, it's just like, I'm so relaxed with you. I'm so off camera with you. I'm off pod. Like, I'm very present with you. And that's wonderful. But like, we have no pictures.
It's true. It's true. And I will say that it's one of the things that I don't really think about. I never think about, because we're so in the moment. And actually, mm-hmm. I could say the same thing about our guest today. Because I never take pictures of this person either, you know?
Yeah, me neither.
But anyway, I think I would agree with your slay and your suck for this week. So,
all right, your turn.
I want to just piggyback on yours if I can.
Yeah, you can. Because
am
you
I allowed
there.
To do that?
You were, yes, it's your show. You can do whatever the OMGF, OFMG you want. Speaking of this amazing cookie.
Yeah, exactly. I think we should bring them on. So on the show today, we are going to do a pop culture episode, which we love these episodes where we get to dive into a friendship-centric pop culture topic. And we thought it would be really fun to have our lovely friend, owner, and founder of Brady's Bakery. Please welcome Reese Selfo to the program.
Hello.
How does it feel to be talked about and you're in the room? Like,
You know, I'm kind of used to it. People kind of do it all the time. And no, I just pretend like I don't listen. So no, it is. I'm like sitting here laughing. I'm just like cracking up. And no, you guys are so sweet. OMFG, you're so sweet.
Oh, those cookies are to die.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You guys are so sweet. Oh,
and it's also
gosh.
Because we're so proud of you, you know, like we talk about you so much because we're so proud of you and what you've accomplished. And so we do this really great segment on the show that we're really proud of. It's fairly new. It's called A Friend Flex.
Hey, friends, go on and flex.
And what A Friend Flex is that we get to not only talk about what we love about you and what we're proud about, but we also give you the chance to talk about something you're proud about in your own life. Cause I think talking about what we're succeeding at, our wins, is very important. And then, you know, what better environment to do that than with our best friends? So what I would like for you to do is tell us about the amazing and massive growth and success of Brady's Bakery.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much. I'm so touched by the enthusiasm and the kind words. And so yeah, Brady's Bakery has started off as a passion project, hobby, years ago. I think you kind of touched on it, out of my home kitchen. I come from an entertainment background, was working for corporate entertainment for a bunch of years and was getting kind of bored. And I just started baking on the weekends for fun, and cupcakes turned to cookies and turned to me not eating all the cookies and bringing them into the office, and then opinions flying back in my face, and brand kind of emerged. I saw colors in my head. So it's called Brady's Bakery, and I'm Reese, but Brady is my dog. And so Brady, I like the alliteration of the B's. I thought Reese's Bakery was way too basic, but I thought Brady's Bakery was fun. Plus, I get to answer the phone and, you know, not claim to be Brady, which is always a relief when people call the bakery. They're like, can I talk to Brady? I'm like, you know, he's not here right now. He's sleeping in the backyard. So, and they're always very confused. But anyhow, I digress. Yeah, and it just kind of, you know, I started getting into farmers markets. Again, being in the entertainment business, I was selling to friends, they bought stuff for themselves to give to family, to other people in the entertainment business, got some wholesale accounts. I'm giving you a very Cliff's Notes version of how this business came to be. Again, this is all still out of my house. I was originally in one room of the house, and the business kept growing. I took over three rooms in the house. In 2018, I decided to leave my corporate job and just kind of run with this full time. Yeah, it was scary. And I did it with my then partner, and he is still very much a part of my life. And I'm so grateful for him and his encouragement. Moved out of the house. I signed a lease from my first commercial space in April 2019. Come March 2020, I get to move in. I get the keys to this space. Well, we all know what March 2020 was. So March 1st, I move in. 16 days later, shutdown happens. But the essence of our business is that we are all pickup and delivery. So we just got to kind of run with it, and it just completely took off. And I had to pivot a whole lot.
Skyrocketed.
I say we kind of took off. I say we kind of pivoted. But yeah, you kind of hit the nail on the head, where we did kind of get we get kind of big. And sometimes it's weird to say that about your own thing, right? It's kind of weird to say, oh yeah, this is big. Oh yeah, we're doing well. I also think humility goes a long way, but I also, no, let's look at it too. I think when we get those wins, I think it's important take a moment, take a beat and self-reflect and congratulate ourselves and the people around us. Yeah, we got it. We had a big 2020, an even bigger 2021. Bigger things are even in store for us this year. I have a team of 10. I'm very grateful for. I have two managers and shift leads, and you know, I have an HR consulting company I work with. I have an accounting company I work with, and yeah, it's just been it's been a project of love, and I could not have done it without the people around me, the friends I have, my family. It's, you know, my dog Brady. You know, it's his namesake.
Yes, and you're so grateful for Gabrielle and Pallavi and Waterfronts for a podcast. For
absolutely. Oh my gosh. You know what? You guys have been such cheerleaders of me for so long. Just like, you know. Always looking for ways for us to collab. And I am so touched. I'm actually finally on the show. This is so great. This is so fun. So,
well, hey friend, you better flex. Like that is fierce.
Yeah. And I remember when we were talking about you coming on, you know, wanted to of course talk about the convergence and the synergy that we've created between the two, Brady's Bakery and WAF, but also we wanted to talk about friendship and we wanted to talk about, you know, things that we've always had in common, which is like, you know, certain shows. And one of them was Sex and the City. And all three of us have like very different experiences with that. But we all like love to talk. But there's so many friendship topics to be had. Gabrielle, we were talking about not doing Sex and the City. We wanted to move forward and talk about the new iteration, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's Pride Month. And it's very important to us here on WAF with our listeners that we talk about updates, right? We talk about different improvement moving forward. And Sex and the City in the 90s, in the Y2Ks, was so forward. And then now you watch it and you're like, wow, it's so homophobic. And like, there's like so many moments that you're like, oh, this doesn't work. Maybe that wasn't what they were touching on. Like, there were other moments of like sexuality and all that, but like, a lot of the characters with like Stanley and some of the jokes and the innuendos, like you watch it now and you just, I mean, I shook my head. I still watch Sex and the City. Reese, do you watch it? Like I watch it on the background.
I love it. Oh yeah. It's one of those shows. I mean, speaking of another show that was popular in the 90s, Friends is another one that also in hindsight is like, oh, a tad homophobic. But yeah, no, I watch Sex and the City often. It just, you know, yeah, it hits a place in my heart that feels good. But looking back, we've evolved and things have changed. Mm-hmm. But I think there's still parts of it that are timeless for sure. I still love how it celebrated women and sex. So
did that very well. And I remember trying to watch Girls like in my early 30s. And I was like, I can't watch this mess. They're a mess. Like they're too young. They're struggling. It's hard. You know, it's just like, I can't, like, I remember that 10 years ago and I was like, I'm going to watch Sex and the City. And so I went on a huge binge watch and I was like, this, I understand, like trying to find love and trying to find true friendships. But now in my mid 30s, now hours upon hours in season 5 of WAF, when I watch the reruns of Sex and the City, I hear all the friendship comments and there are plenty.
And the dynamics are there's certain dynamics that you pick up on that you're just like, oh, those two people should not be friends.
Oh my God.
I mean, and having been in relationships myself and you know, even been through therapy, I hear like codependency between some of the friendships. And I think sometimes when we watch things, we put certain shows and pieces of pop culture on a pedestal. We want to emulate our lives after them. And I think for me, I thought I don't have friends like, you know, Miranda and Samantha or Miranda and Carrie. I don't have friendships like that, those bonds. What am I doing wrong? What's wrong with me? We also have to remember it's a TV show. So, I mean, it's beautifully crafted, well-written, but I saw something I wanted in them for myself. But I think what they had together was beautiful for television. But to put that pressure on myself to find in real life, ultimately just, yeah, like kind of what Pallavi said. Yeah, that, you know, some of these people just should not have been friends. Or like, in what world would these two people exist together and be as close as they are? So like, for example, in my view, I mean, Charlotte, there's a lot of Charlotte lovers out there, but I just wonder, I'm like, where in the world would Miranda and Charlotte actually sit in a room together for that long?
So, oh my God. I say the same thing about Charlotte and Samantha. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. The tolerance that she has.
Yeah. Tolerance. And, you know, and it also kind of was funny how it kind of, everyone's like, so are you a Miranda? Or are you a Charlotte? Are you a Samantha? Or are you a Carrie? It's like kind of pigeonholed women into like four, you know, archetypes, when in actuality, everyone's a blend of kind of a little bit of everything. But
yeah. And I do appreciate now moving into the reboot, which isn't really a reboot, in my opinion. It's just a sequel. No, it's like, would it be considered a sequel? Because like, And Just Like That continues the story. And the editing of not having Kim Cattrall in the show.
Yeah.
We know the tea. If you are a Sex and the City fan, we know that tea. But I have to say, having to edit that character out the way that they did really opened up the conversation of friendships, because the sex got out of the way.
Right, for sure. Absolutely, I agree. And I consider it to be, not at all a reboot. I think it's a continuation of the story. Wasn't a remake, wasn't a reboot. It was never going to be what Sex and the City was. It was very much a continuation on of these women's lives and their stories. I too agree. I was very pleased. I was very upset when I knew that Kim was not going to be. I mean, she was, for so many people, when you think of Sex and the City, you think of Samantha Jones. You think of that
sex.
Central... She was the sex part, you know, I mean, they all touched on it a little bit, but she was the sex forward. She was the one that was like, this is my sex drive. This is who I am. I take no bullshit from anybody, which is, I think is actually very inspiring. She knows who she is and she just kind of moves forward with it. Anyone else who wants to get in her way, she's like, well, I don't care. So it was rough when I knew that she wasn't going to be a part of the show. And I was very curious. I'm glad they didn't kill her off. I'm glad that she was still, I read an interview with Sarah Jessica and I want to say it was Variety or something. And they still wanted the spirit of Samantha to live. And I felt that she was always being referred to, the text messages, the spirit of Samantha lived on. And I think they were able to really perfectly craft that. And it's funny because you would never, out of all the people to have fought and split up, I wouldn't have put Carrie and Samantha as the two that would,
Split. How do we feel about the reasoning that they wrote, the way they split up as friends, how Samantha doesn't text her back?
Felt like a little bit of a stretch to me. I find myself suspending a little bit of disbelief there. I'll buy it because, I mean, who knows? Again, from the last movie to now, there's about 10, 11 years. So who knows what happened in those 10, 11 years? But yeah, the whole, like, they got in a fight over, you know, Carrie's PR or something, or Carrie no longer wanted to continue on with Samantha. And so
I had an email conversation. I asked a vocal teacher. I wanted to rehire an old vocal teacher from New York to train Philip in his old job, give him some lessons, some vocal and guitar lessons. And there was this big misunderstanding that really wasn't big, but it was bigger to me. And I sent a very... Pallavi, did I tell you about this story?
I think I know about this, yeah.
The alias name will be Guitar. I emailed Guitar and I said, Hey, I'm disappointed. I was going to pay you. I had a lot of expectations, not only from me, but from Philip's staff. You dropped the ball, man. You dropped the ball. And I just want to let you know I'm disappointed. And the email that came back was so offended. Guitar got so offended. Philip used to work for a church and Guitar added spirituality in it. Like, if you're so spiritual, then you wouldn't have X, Y, and Z. I don't even think I finished the email and we have not spoken since.
Oh, no. That's so upsetting to me. That's so sad. How?
Yeah. So no, maybe it's kind of like that.
Do you think that with Guitar, I mean, was this the first symptom or instance in which this person revealed
certain behavior? I mean, Guitar and I are not friends. Guitar and I are not friends like Samantha and Carrie, for sure. We admire each other. We respect each other. Guitar helped me with personal and professional music stuff. And I think my pride got in the way. I can admit that. And I still think I'm right.
Sure.
I mean, it's interesting. Like we talk a lot about, especially, okay. So in Sex and the City or in Just Like That, it was a professional matter that got in the way of their friendship. And what I wish they would have gotten into, but I can recognize that from a writing point of view, it's very difficult to do that if only one of the characters is present in the show. It's like,
sure.
That why not talk about those triggers and what that line, how important crossing that line is, and how it takes like a mutual maturity between two parties to actually decide to work together, right? Because, I mean, Gabrielle and I talk about that a lot because we do work together. Yeah. Right. And, you know, I've had relationships fall apart because even though I'm trying to be as forthright as possible, as upfront as possible, if both parties don't know themselves enough in a situation when it comes to like their profession, if the other person gets upset, it's like, you can't really control that. So
Right. It's
like, this is why it comes back to, I think the thing about that I appreciate about And Just Like That is that I felt like Samantha exiting was their way of evolving in many different ways.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
Because you open the circle, you mm-hmm. let some new people in.
Yeah.
And, you know, also, I mean, I'm very open about the fact that, like, I think I've had this conversation with people many times about how the new people they let in, it's not a coincidence that a lot of them are women of color.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was something that was lacking as well. So that's a perspective, that's an evolution, that's a moment of growth. And I feel like they really were trying to do that. And people are going to get upset about that. That's a whole nother conversation we can have about what that device was and how it was used. But, you know, I think that's what I want to take away from the fact that they've rebooted this, is that they were trying to give themselves and give this franchise and this iconic thing a chance to grow mm-hmm. and learn.
Right. Right.
My question to you is, like, you know, I think we want to get into a couple of like specific friendship dynamics.
Okay.
Gabrielle, do you want to go first?
Yes. And I am totally on board and on the same page about Charlotte literally needing new friends since season 2 of Sex and the City.
Yeah.
And she gets that chance in And Just Like That. Lisa, LT Dubs.
Yes.
She's just like perfect.
Beautiful.
For
My
her.
Gosh. Gorgeous.
Perfect for her inside and out. And she's just a version of Charlotte that Charlotte has been missing. And there just maybe was no room in the writing for this kind of character to add that in because of all the other challenges that she was trying to get, like getting married, having kids, blah blah blah. But now it's like there's this same wavelength of morals and support, and I just love that, you know, she finally has a friend that doesn't like tease her or like can, you know, just condescend her. So
sure.
I'm so happy with that. How do you feel about that?
I think, you know, it wasn't it. I can appreciate what it is that they did, and I think, you know, I'm trying to look at their friendship dynamic and not so much look from a writing point of view. I feel like they were throwing a lot Charlotte's way in this continuation of mm-hmm. the story between her, you know, her oldest daughter, her younger child, you know, who is non-binary, who comes out as non-binary. You know, things with her husband and just, you know, I think, there was a lot that was thrown in Charlotte's lap, but I think, I'm glad that she was able to, because I mean, Charlotte's very OCD. She's very organized. She is very, I'm happy though that Charlotte, you know, this woman who grew up in Connecticut, who seemed to be ultra conservative, wears the white pearls around her neck, was so open to her kids. And she's trying to embrace, you know, cultures that are not hers. I mean, she, in the episode where, I mean, it's funny, but it's also just kind of like after all, everything that we've all been through the last few years, to hear her be, I don't know, for me, it felt so uncomfortable when she was trying to find enough people of color to be at her house or be at her party, or she didn't want to appear to be the woman that had all only white friends. And so it felt like there was a moment where she was just trying so hard, but I guess it's good that she's trying so hard, but it felt like she was trying to do something just for optics and not actually because she believes it or wants it. And I don't know if I saw, because they were emphasizing a lot of friendships in this continuation. new friendships, that is. But I think what I saw between the two of them, what I hope to see in season two, when it comes, it's gonna keep going, is a deeper connection between the two of them. Because what I saw was very, on the surface, a little superficial. Like, you know, they can, they both have a lot of money. They can both like support each other financially. And, you know, yeah. So again, glad that these two people found each other. I just want to see them connect for me on a deeper level, not just because, and again, I don't know how LT Dub feels because they didn't really talk about that, but Charlotte, it felt like she was trying to just tick a box, or she was trying to get in with someone that was super influential with, you know, with the school. Does that make sense? Am I making sense?
Yeah, but I would argue that maybe that was part of the point, was to like, you know, show that that's part of her agenda, that she usually has an agenda, Charlotte.
Sure.
You know, and so maybe that was part of the point, was to try and like introduce somebody in a way that we know Charlotte does things, and then try and like, hopefully, like you said, we'll maybe build from there in the second season.
Sure. Right.
Yeah.
To be seen.
I agree. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because I think that same argument can honestly be made for any other of the other new friends, like the professor at school for Miranda,
right?
You know, like that's a device, you know, yeah, for her to like show how much she's learning and evolving.
Yes.
And for, oh my gosh, you know, and do you know what I mean? And like, and then, and same thing with Seema and Carrie,
right?
You know, like there was also that whole episode about, you know, Diwali was a plot for Carrie to learn about a new line of fashion. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it was, we all need these things, or lots of stories need these like devices in order to have an entry point. And like you said, I am actually hoping that they are going to build from here. Right. Cause they needed to get that uncomfortable shit out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
In season one.
Yeah. Yeah. And that it was uncomfortable. I mean, you talked about the professor and Miranda. I mean, do we all remember the first scene they were together in the classroom? And yeah, she was talking about her hair, and she just kept rambling. And which is so funny. Like the Miranda that we know, like the buttoned up type A, like lawyer, I felt like she was kind of, I had to take a step back, because I'm such a fan of Sex and the City, and be like, okay, wait, is this the Miranda that we know? Like, this felt like who was, you know, fumbling over her words like this and saying the things that she's saying. And, but again, it was kind of nice to see, because we see Miranda grow a lot in this season and this continuation. And it was nice to see her kind of at a point of weakness and a little chink in her armor. And she was trying to find her way, how to connect with this woman. You know, as a woman and as a professor, obviously Miranda was very interested in this woman because of her mind and her career and her academia credentials. That was one of the more interesting relationships, I thought. And I think they really took the time to flesh that out a little bit in this season.
Sure. I also do love, moving on to another friendship dynamic, I do love one of the first episodes where Stanley is sitting at a four top with them, and they have a three top versus four top conversation, and the door just keeps hitting him and hitting him and hitting him. And they definitely put a finger on that button saying, yes, everyone, we know Samantha's not here. We know Stanley's here, and Stanley's great. And so like they made fun of it. You know, I could tell they were making fun of it, but at the same time, it was so nice to see, with Stanley inserted, Charlotte gets booted out. You know what I mean? And she's not. And Stanley basically calls it out, saying, oh, am I part of the inner circle now? Because everyone knows it's always been that four top, and they only look at each other, which friendships happen like that. Like, I feel, I don't know if I feel this exactly, but like there are inner circle feelings where you don't get invited in and you wish you could.
Right.
Do you guys have those friendship circles that you wish you can get into?
I mean, maybe not as much anymore, but I know the experience of that for sure. Yeah. Whenever you feel like you're being let in, it's like, you know, actually the thing I thought about with that whole Stanley thing, and I was just like, this is actually the first time I feel like I've seen Stanley kind of be Stanley for the sake of being Stanley, not Stanley, somebody else's friend. You know what I mean? Like just like a sort of an ancillary thing. That's sort of what I took from that too, which actually my question to you, Reese, for that, and like, you know, we've talked a lot about these women on the show, but there was a lot of gay best friend tropes in the original as well. And here too. So like, you know, did you feel like the gay best friends were also just a device in the original show, or did you actually feel like it helped open the conversation of, you know, LGBTQ culture representation in some way? Like, did you feel any sort of kinship or representation represented by Stanley or Anthony?
Oh, I'm so glad you're asking this question, because it's something I've often thought about as far as a device. Yeah, it's absolutely a device. Of course. I mean, it's New York City, these single women, I mean, like they're going to put them with a gay best friend who pops in every few episodes or whatever. And for comic relief, you know, Willie Garson, is that his name? Right. Mm-hmm. He passed. So, you know, which is so upsetting and how heartbreaking. So I don't, you know, and he's done so much work and he's amazing. What a fantastic actor. Yeah. So nothing against him, but I didn't, from what I'm about to say, which is, I think he was kind of half, I think Willie Garson, I think he had to really create a lot and do a lot for himself. I don't know how much they gave him a landing pad to really grow and flesh out as a, why are Carrie and Stanley friends? I didn't quite see that.
Right.
I don't disbelieve that they're friends, but I didn't see this common thing other than them liking to sip Cosmos and, you know, talk about boys, which that may be it. And that's great. I certainly have, you know, girlfriends of mine, where I just, now, actually, you know what? I will say all of my girlfriends it's a much deeper thing. And you can tell that Stanley and Carrie have a deeper friendship, but I never really got to, I don't recall ever seeing that. And, you know, he wasn't around too much for his character to really grow and blossom. And there's also Anthony and of course he's, you know, the short, loud Italian who is just, you know, and to pair him, I think it was very strategic and much a device to pair him up with Charlotte. I mean, he is like the Samantha of, you know, his gender and being gay, but like to pair him up with Charlotte, I think allowed us to see a specific side of Charlotte that was actually kind of fun.
Yeah, because I was just about to say that, and that's why I wanted to ask you specifically that question, because like, you're my gay best friend, and I don't think you're anything like any of those characters.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, again, this show was created in 1998. Will and Grace is, Will and Grace is doing it. I'm trying to think of other shows. There were, you know, Queer as Folk was going to come about, I think, in 2000. Again, like, it's so funny how far we've come in pop culture with the introduction of gay characters. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy was coming out in the late 90s. And so, like kind of Sex and the City, there was archetypes, right? So I think in these shows where gay men were represented, they were serving a function. They were serving a very specific stereotype. And I think Anthony and Stanley very much served as their own stereotype. That certainly brought comic relief. That certainly, I think, gave a different side to the women. But again, the point of the show wasn't to focus on, I don't think, those friendships. I think those were very secondary or tertiary. I think they were not even, you know, anyway.
And the budget's very different. And just like that.
Yes.
Like, we can have them on this episode. We can.
Yes.
I'm sure they all came with numbers.
Yes, absolutely. This is my quote. This is my quote.
Exactly.
Jesus. But good for them, though. I mean, good for them. That's good for them.
Lightning war.
All right. So the first question, let's jump right in. Reese, you can answer it's short or as long as you want.
It's a pinata. It's a pinata of characters, okay?
Are you a Carrie, Miranda, Charlotte, Samantha, Stanley, Anthony, Lisa, or Seema?
I hate to say it, but I do think there is a codependency in me, which is very Carrie. It's very Carrie. And so, but I think I have a Miranda brain sometimes, and I have a drive like Samantha.
All right. Next question. Moving on. Which Sex and the City friendship dynamic is your favorite?
Miranda and Carrie, and then Miranda and the professor, Nia Wallace.
Moving on. In one word or hyphenate, Reese, what kind of friend are you? Like, are you needy blunt? Are you something more descriptive? Like, I'm needy, like, blunt? I'm a cactus friend. Some people have made, like, lots of different.
Can I just say?
Categorize yourself, you know?
Well, I'm going to have to give you credit later because Needy Blunt is now officially my drag name.
Needy Blunt.
I am Needy Blunt. That is my new drag name.
Slay.
I like the hyphenate route, so I'm going to go with lovingly patient.
All very true. Reese, what would you like to do better as a friend?
It's funny. I would consider myself to be empathetic, but I can feel like I could be more empathetic.
Great answer. And Reese, finally, our iconic question. What are friends for?
Friends are there for love and support.
Period.
Yes. And I will put a really nice little button on this. Friends are also to love and support Brady's Bakery, everyone. Go check it out. Yes. Their WAF always has this great discount code.
Yes, we do.
Yes. Yes, WAF, W-A-F-F, 20. W-A-F-F, oh my God, that sounds like an expletive when, like, you're trying to, like, when you're frustrated. W-A-F-F. But what are friends? WAF 20.
Yes, WAF 20. Get those OMFG cookies. Send them to your friends. You can online order. Send them all around the country. It's like the best thing. I mean, I remember trying to pick some up and Reese was like, you just need to order them. I was like, okay, fine. And so just get them delivered. I've sent them all across the country. They are the best gifts for showers, weddings, anniversaries, feel better. Congratulations. They have won me so many thank you text messages.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And yes, and to that point, so we are LA's bake to order cookie shop. So yes, ordering ahead online is very essential. You're going to get a piping hot cookie when you come see us at our flagship location. Yay. So come check us out. Thank you guys so
Thanks
much.
Thanks for coming on WAF.
We love you.
What a fun thing. I love you guys too. This is so much fun. And yeah, and I'll see you guys soon, friends.
Okay, bye.
Bye. One, two, three, four.
This episode was produced by Team Access Productions and Fast Nickel Inc. and presented by Hoo-Ha-Ha. Our supervising producer is Philip Sanchin.
Our consulting producers are Kathleen Cho and Rose Harwood.
Head of production and marketing is Anna Daneker. Digital content director is Susie Cabello.
Our production assistants are Daniela Heredia Vega and Julia Kelch.
Our podcast artwork is created by Aishwarya Sukesh. Original music is by Joey Sherman. Special thanks to Irresistible Force Publicity and Hari Savitala.
Don't forget to download the free Hoo Ha Ha app to listen to WAF and other exclusive women-led podcasts. And as always, please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you're listening now. This helps our show's visibility and helps us keep making it for you.
And find us on all the socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and even TikTok at WAF Podcast. That's W-A-F-F Podcast. To find links to our exclusive vodcasts, live shows, shop merch, or even text us, visit WAFpodcast.com.
We truly appreciate you all checking in with us online. But you know that friend that you've been like, oh, I really haven't checked in with them in a while? Go do that.
Yeah, go do that now.